So the final point of last week's message was this: belonging brings power. God releases his power and his presence whenever and however he wants to, because he's sovereign. So he's going to do things his way all the time. But as we read Scripture, we notice a little bit more about how God works and how God likes to show his power and to show his presence. And it's often when the people of God are gathered together. When the people of God come together, God shows up in that place and he moves in power and he brings his presence. Like on the day of Pentecost. We talked about that very briefly at the end of the message last week. The day of Pentecost, they're in the upper room. Where does God show up? When does God show up? When the people of God are together. The windows and doors blow off that place. Tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit comes down, baptizes the church in power and with the presence of God. And 3,000 people in Jerusalem come into the family of God through Christ Jesus, through the gospel message on that day. So notice, he came where the people were gathered together. He just filled the church with his power and his presence. The church then was launched out by the Holy Spirit in the community, and everything began to change. Now, what if you were the person, like I said last week, that decided, you know what, I'm going to stay home today. It's a day of Pentecost and all this. I've been there 49 days. I've been showing up in this prayer meeting, coming faithfully, showing up. And, you know, it's been good. I've enjoyed the fellowship. I've enjoyed the worship and the prayer time. We've had some pretty neat moments from time to time. But if I just miss this day, it's no big deal. I've got some work to do around the house. It's time for me time. You know what I mean? I need a little bit of me time right now. And I don't think anybody's going to miss me, because I'm not like on the worship team or one of the ministers or anything. I'm just kind of one of the folks showing up in this gathering. Nobody's going to really miss me. And so you stay home on day 50, which is the day that the Holy Spirit shows up, the power of God pours into the church. And it was the people who were there that day that got that initial baptism and had that amazing experience like none other that's ever been in history happened on that day. Day 50. And I'm sure we've all been there, though. We've all talked ourselves, I'm raising my hand, we've talked ourselves out of it before, of why, you know what, I'm just staying home. I'm just going to be one of those folks right now that stays home. And we've all been there. Sounds rational from time to time. It sounds reasonable and practical. We're not alone with this. There's some great men and women, great fathers of the faith even, that wrestled with this same issue of just wanting to bow out, wanting just some me time, not wanting to necessarily be where God wanted them to be at that particular moment. But what we're going to learn as we look at the lives of some of these fathers of faith is that when we talk ourselves out of God's plans, you're missing out. You're missing out. That's the title of today's message. You're missing out. As we continue our journey of belonging, we're going to find out that we don't want to be those who are missing out. Let me tell you a little story. This summer, of course, you know, the family, we went over to Northern California. We were in the Bay Area, and Velvet had this wonderful idea that, hey, when we're in San Francisco, let's take a walking tour of San Francisco. You know, like the hilliest, steepest street city in the whole United States. Let's take a day-long walking tour of San Francisco. And so I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is scaring me, right? And then Velvet runs with it, and she does what she does, and she goes on Groupon, because she's thinking, we want a good tour. It's not just going to be a self-led tour. We want an actual tour guide. And she goes out online. She finds this tour led by a guy named Emperor Norton. Check it out. This is him right there. So here I am. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I'm going to walk the steep streets of San Francisco for a whole day with this guy? This guy? You got to be kidding me. And so here I was trying to talk myself out of it. I'm so grateful that I did not take action, that I didn't, you know, blow the plans that Velvet had, because it was an amazing tour. This guy, by the way, is awesome. He is so knowledgeable. I'm a fan of his. He needs Jesus, but I'm a fan of his. And it's a great tour. And almost everybody in the city knows this guy. And they love him. And he gives you free chocolate, you know, at the Ghirardelli's and all this kind of stuff. It was a great time. But I almost talked myself and my family out of it, because it didn't seem like the comfortable or cool thing necessarily to do. This morning, as we continue our journey of belonging, our tour guides will not be Emperor Norton, but our tour guides are going to be Moses and Joshua. So if you would open those Bibles up, turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Remember when I was talking about lessons from the mountain, the double rainbow, how the Lord will use amazing things, use natural things to get our attention, like a double rainbow. Here, he's taking a bush and he's lighting it on fire for Moses to get this man's attention. So Moses saw that this bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to check this thing out. It's a strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? Now, when the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. He said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Here I am. It's a side note before we continue. I just feel led even right now to say, God is still getting our attention. He's still doing things in our midst, in the natural, to get our attention. Supernatural things happening that often we'll just write off as, well, that's just strange, but whatever, and we get on with our lives. I want to encourage you, like Moses, to go over and to see what God might be saying. And listen, and when God says, here I am, when God says, your name, humble yourself, quiet yourself, make yourself available and say, here I am, Lord, like Moses. Moses did that. Here I am. Why was God trying to get Moses' attention? Just to kind of tell him, hey, you're a great guy? Actually, the Lord was getting Moses' attention because he had a mission for Moses. He had something very special planned for Moses to be part of. We continue in verse 7. See, the Lord said to Moses, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Ites, the Ites, the Ites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, God says. And I have seen the way of the Egyptians, how they are oppressing them. So now, God says to Moses, so now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So Moses had just been chosen by God Almighty, the creator of the universe, to represent him and to be the man on this earth to go and be the hand and the voice that would release the people of God from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And so you got to imagine, Moses had to be humbled. He had to be excited. He had to be thinking to himself, oh my goodness, you mean I get to partner with you, God, in this amazing, crazy, historic mission? I'm all on board. But that's not how it went down with Moses. That wasn't his reaction. Moses said to God, verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. So instead of being excited about God's plans and God's word, he began to question the word of the Lord. He began to question the plans that God had. I'm sure you've never done that, right? Never done that. The Lord opens a door, calls you to something big. Remember a story when I was doing a small group gathering at a Starbucks, and a friend of mine, it really was a friend of mine, it wasn't me this time, but it could have been me too, but a friend of mine was feeling the Lord calling him, stirring in his spirit to go pray for a woman who was in a wheelchair that had just come out of Starbucks, and to go pray for her to be healed and to walk. And he told us afterwards that he was battling that word. He was battling actually moving forward with what the Lord was calling. And so he just kept wrestling with God on this and wrestling with his own flesh on this until the woman was gone. And finally, when he felt, okay, I'm going to finally do it, he gets up, she's gone, and he walks around the entire complex looking for the woman in the wheelchair and can't find her anywhere. We wondered why he jumped up and just ran off for about 10 minutes. And when he came back, he told us his story. This is what had been going on for the last 15, 20 minutes. This is what he'd been wrestling with. And he told me years later, continued to tell me how much he regretted that and what would have happened. What would have happened if he didn't question the Lord and he didn't try to disqualify himself from being used by God in that miraculous way? I'm not the right guy. It's probably not me. We got to get that out of our vocabulary when the Lord is calling, when the Lord is talking. Verse 1, because Moses, of chapter 4, verse 1, Moses comes up with some other excuses. He says, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? What if they say to me, the Lord did not appear to you? You're a liar, right? And then he comes up with another excuse, pulls another excuse out to the Lord. He says, oh Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Excuses. And then finally, Moses just comes right out and he says it in verse 13. He says, oh Lord, please just send someone else to do it. I just don't want to do it. He finally fesses up and says, it's out of my comfort zone, God. I don't really want to do something that big, that scary, that significant. Just send someone else. Send Pastor Eric. He should talk to that person, not me. What are you talking about? That's what Moses was doing. Send someone else. So Moses, check this out. He spent this entire supernatural experience where God is burning a bush and talking to him and showing up, he spends the whole time, instead of getting excited about the presence of God and the plans of God, he spends his time trying to talk himself out of and trying to talk God out of his plans and his mission. And I just want to throw this out there because I know we all do it. You know, the Lord calls us together to worship. He calls us together to come into his presence, to lift up holy hands. We enter his gates and his courts. We enter his presence through thanksgiving and through praise and all of this. But I'll just be real with you because I've been there too, all right? We'll come together and then instead of just joining in with the presence of God and the power of God and the move of God in the way that he's called us to engage with him, we can often just fall into this thing of sitting back and analyzing it. And even wondering, huh, is that the right song right now? Was that what should have been said? The music might be a little too loud. The room might be a little warm because it's fighting 47 degree humidity outside, whatever, right? I mean, we come up with all of these things and we end up talking ourselves just like Moses did during this supernatural experience, this experience that could have just blown his socks off spiritually. He ends up spending his time in the muck and thinking about all the negatives instead of joining into the positive that God has for him right then. Anyway, That was just extra credit right there. Just wanted to make it personal. We all deal with this stuff. I raised my hand. I deal with it too. We all deal with that. Let's not let the enemy rob us any longer of the presence of God and what he has for us in these moments when we're together and when he's showing up. Let's not let it happen. So Moses met his match in the Lord, though. We all meet our match in the Lord. Essentially, the Lord told Moses this, and I'm paraphrasing it. This is just, you know, Eric's version of this. The Lord basically, after maybe slapping him around a little bit, you know, whatever, he said, son, look, son, I made you. I'm the one who made you. I know what you can and can't do. I know. I know what's inside of you, Moses, because I put it in there. And I didn't make any mistakes. And I know what I'm doing. So go and set my people free. Go. Go. And if Moses hadn't left his comfort zone and stepped into the God zone, that's what the Lord gave me this week. If he hadn't left his comfort zone, and if he hadn't stepped into the God zone, what's the God zone? The God zone is that place that seems pretty dangerous to us in the flesh, in the natural. It's that place of the supernatural. It's that place where things are bigger than us and greater than us. If he hadn't left his comfort zone, tending sheep over by Mount Horeb, and he hadn't stepped into the God zone, he would have missed out. Missed out. Big time. You know the rest of the story. It all happened just the way God had planned. And it was supernatural. It was shock. It was awe. Moses showed up. He told the Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses saw the Lord do miracles. He saw the Lord release epic plagues that changed the heart and mind of a king. He saw the Israelites freed after 400 years of slavery. And then he got to see and experience the Red Sea being supernaturally divided and the people of God walking across on dry land. And if Moses had stayed home, if he hung out by the mountain instead of going and being part of the mission of God, Moses probably would have been the guy who got a text message from all his buddies who did show up. And they would have said, Moses, you're missing out. That's my version of it right there. Moses, you're missing out. Now, praise God, he didn't miss out because that's him. I know it's kind of hard to see. That's him right there. He didn't miss out. You don't want a text message from your friends. Man, you should have been there tonight. It was amazing. The Lord showed up. Somebody was healed tonight. The Lord had a word for people. It was powerful. You don't want to be the one who gets a text that said you missed out. You want to be the one who was there and got to be part of what God has just done with his people and through his people. So here's the important question. What has the Lord called you to do? Has he called you to be part of a church family? Has he called you to belong to his church? Has he called you to be a member of a body that's joined together? Has he revealed to you different giftings? And has he spoken to you maybe even and given you some vision and understanding of the possibilities that lie within you? Through him? What's he calling you to? What's he called you to? Has he called you just to show up? You know, just go to that prayer meeting. When they pray, go. Be in that environment. Let some of that stuff rub off on you. What's he called you to? I want to encourage all of us that our response should be, yes, God. We're going to say yes. I know, again, like I said, we can easily talk ourselves out of things. Thought about some of them. It's not the right time. I have other responsibilities. God kind of knows my schedule right now. You know, he knows how busy I am. Maybe when I have more time, like when I'm retired and the kids aren't, you know, requiring so much of my time, then I can spend more time, you know, in the things of God and gathering with the saints and being in the upper room, if you will. And maybe when I have my financial house in order, I can carve out a little more time. But I want to say that I don't want any of us to be the ones who are missing out. I don't. Now, we got real life to live. Sure, we got real life to live. But what are we looking at first? What are we investing in first? Remember I told you earlier, preaching myself, and I got to wrestle with this stuff all week, right? All right, good. So let's get out of the comfort zone. Let's get into the God zone. All right, we're going to move on because Moses did say yes after arguing with God. He was used by the Lord to lead the people of Israel, the people of God, out of 400 years of slavery. We're going to pick up the story now in Numbers 13. After they're freed from 400 years of slavery, here's what goes down, verse 1 of Numbers 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of the leaders." So Moses sent out the 12 spies. And the majority of the spies came back saying this, verse 31. They said, "We can't attack those people. We can't do what you're calling us to do, Moses. We can't do what you're saying God wants us to do. It just can't be done because those people over there in that land that you're saying God's given to us, they're big and they're stronger than we are." And so the spies took that kind of negative, doubtful thinking, and they spread it among the Israelites, this bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. And we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them." Now remember, this is the same God calling them to go into this land and to take this land, telling them that they have all they need to take this land. It's the same God who just led them out of 400 years, took them across the Red Sea on dry ground, miraculously parted water, I mean moved water, makes a bush burn, moves water. God's powerful. They've seen that. Now it was time for the next God zone moment. Simply take the promised land that the Lord's already given you, yet the Israelites once again try to start talking themselves and talking God out of it. God says, "This is how we do it." It's like we were singing earlier, this is how I fight my battles, right? This is how you do it. This is how you're going to fight your battles. I've already given you the victory. Now go. And they're already talking themselves out of it. Why God can't be true? Why it's not going to happen for them? So much to the point, remember they were even wanting to go back to Egypt, saying it was better for them there? Yeah, crazy, backward thinking. But man, how often does the enemy do that to us? I mean, I've been there recently where the enemy gets in there and he puts these stupid thoughts in your mind. You just start thinking wrong thoughts, and next thing you know, you're frustrated and you're just, ah. Man, we got to take our thoughts captive. We got to remember who God is and who we are in Christ Jesus and what God has promised for us. And so what happened? They believed their own eyes. They didn't believe the report of the Lord, and so they didn't go into the promised land. They spent 40 days wandering around in the desert eating the same meal over and over and over, and it wasn't even Mexican food, my favorite. I mean, come on. But the Lord did provide for them because he's good, he's gracious, and he's merciful. In fact, here's what ended up happening because they wouldn't step in to the things of God. It says in Numbers 14:29, in this wilderness, your bodies will fall, every one of you 20 years old and more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. So all those that doubted, all those that talked themselves out of it. Man, I'm telling you, church, if we're in any way grumbling or trying to talk ourselves out of moving forward into the promises and the things of God because we don't want to leave the comfort zone or we're afraid of the God zone, man, we got to stop that right now. And again, I'm just telling you as one of the body right here, we got to make sure we're really careful and we don't fall into this trap. There are real consequences when we choose to talk ourselves out of God's plans and his purposes. When we choose to retreat or we choose to stay home instead of showing up and advancing, we really miss out on real God stuff. Real God stuff. But then it was Joshua's time. You know the rest of the story. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. He was the guy that was full of faith. He knew God could do it. He was one of the 12 spies that went in there. He and Caleb came back and said, you know, they look big, but our God is bigger. Let's go take them. And so Joshua chose to advance full of faith. No one was going to talk Joshua out of God's plans. He was ready to go into the God zone. He'd been ready for 40 years. He was chomping at the bit to get into the God zone, to move into the promised land, and to kick some ites out. We'll just say that, right? All the Perizzites and the Hittites and Jebusites and all that kind of stuff. To kick them out, right? He was ready. And I'm going to tell you what, this is why the Lord gave Joshua the mantle of leadership. He gave Joshua the mantle of leadership because he was willing and he was excited to walk away from the comfort zone and to run into the God zone. He was willing to step into the dangerous places with God because he had faith and he knew that God was able and had gone before him. And so I'm just telling this, if we had a leadership seminar going on right now, I would use Joshua as an example of this. Do we want to increase in our ability to lead our families, to lead in the church, to lead our community in meaningful ways, like to Jesus, bringing the kingdom of God? Do we want to be used more by God? Then we have to be those people who, like Joshua, are willing to walk away from the comfort zone and to boldly step in to the God zone. He gave Joshua the mantle of leadership. This is another point I want to jump at very, very quickly right here. I think it needs to be noted that the Lord was not moving individuals into the promised land. He was moving a nation. He was moving his united people into the promised land, not individuals. The Lord was not going to take a divided people, a divided church, into his promises. He wasn't going to take a divided people, a divided church, and give them the city, like Jericho. He wasn't going to do that. He was moving his united, together, belonging people into the promised land and into the victory that came with it. I think that's important to note. It wasn't just a few people that the Lord sent to make a way. It was the united body of Christ, and he's still operating that way today. Scripture says that the Lord looks to and fro throughout the earth for those who are fully given to him, and when he finds those people, when he finds them, it's plural, when he finds them, when he finds that church that's all in for him, that's ready to dive into the God zone and is listening and is saying yes, and when he finds those people, it says that he shows himself strong in them. And that's what he did for the Israelites here with Joshua at the helm of leadership, having the mantle of leadership. They walked into the God zone together as a unified, united people, and the Lord showed himself very, very strong in and through his people. And God is still looking for this unity. He shows up where the people of God belongs, and as we studied last week in Psalm 133, he still releases blessings when his people dwell together in unity in this way. I want to conclude with a thought. And Velvet and I were chatting a little bit about some of this stuff this week, and she brought up social media, and you know, we live in a culture where we want to belong. And so we try different ways to belong, and one kind of the modern way is to get onto social media and belong, right, to the community, right? To so on and so forth. And I've spent a lot of time on social media over the years. I'm nearly 100% off of social media right now. So if you've been offended in any way because I've not liked your post or commented on them or gotten back, it's not because I don't love you. I love you very, very much. I even have people now that are sending me like the prayer wall notifications because I'm not even on it that much to even get prayer wall notifications. So I'm just not on social media that much. I'll check out a couple of my kids, you know, pages every once in a while just because some of them are adults and I don't get to see them as often as I used to. So just seeing their picture makes me warm inside as a daddy, right? And so I'll do that. But I spent my time on social media, and social media tends to paint an unrealistic picture of life. It just does, in an unrealistic feeling of belonging. But I think ultimately what it does more than making us feel belong, I think it can very easily get us into the place of feeling anxious and even feeling hurt and pain. And I'll tell you how it happens sometimes. It works this way. You browse social media, you're out there seeing everybody's real life on social media because that's all you see is real life. And so as you're looking at everybody else's real life, you're seeing people go to parties that you weren't at, right? You weren't even invited to. You see people buying their new stuff and showing off their new stuff that they have and their new vehicle and their new hairdo and all this stuff, right? You see people going on fancy vacations and posting all this stuff about where they are around the world. And you're wondering, why am I getting left out? Why wasn't I invited to the party? Why doesn't my life look like that? And I just want to end it this morning with this. I want to say that you're invited. You're invited to the party. You're invited to the family. You're invited to the dinner. You're invited around the table. You're invited to belong, to be part of what God is doing right here in this church family, to not miss out. You're invited. You're invited. You're invited. God is calling each one of us to belong and to come together in unity. And I talked about it last week that, and I'm just going to come out and say it, maybe even, it's off the cuff, so who knows how it's going to come out right now. But if you don't show up, I can look around this room at anybody in the room right now, if you don't show up, I really do feel it. And I don't feel it because there's not another butt in a seat, as they say, you know. We just want butts in seats, right? No, that's not why. That's not it at all. Because I don't care about these chairs. Some of them really aren't even that comfortable. They look okay, you know, whatever, okay? It's not about that. It's not about, and it's about the fact that you're part of my family. And you being here, your presence, your smile, your shaking your hand, a hug, it means something, but not just to me. It means something to everyone here in the room with you. You're important. You're valuable. And you belong. And we belong together. And as we continue to walk into this thing of belonging, this thing of saying yes to how God has orchestrated His kingdom and His church and how he moves forward and pushes darkness and brings light in our world today. As we continue to grab hold of His ways and get out of that comfort zone and into the God zone, I'm telling you, it's just going to get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And I want to encourage you, as we walk into these different, deeper, and some spiritual things that the Lord is calling us to do in this season, like fasting together, and praying together and coming together for some special worship gatherings, as He's calling us around the tables together to just talk and encourage one another in the things of God, I want to encourage you, when you're able, show up. Netflix, whatever. You know, let it go. The ball game, let it go. Record it and watch it later if you really have to, right? But let's come together and let's position ourselves and move into the big things, the big mission that God has for us. The church is the hope for the world today because we're the carriers of Christ, of the gospel, of His kingdom.